They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
In a few minutes, is real estate a racket? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump says he will impose an escalating series of tariffs on all goods passing from Mexico into the U.S. President Trump is pressuring Mexico to stop migrants. The tariffs will start at 5%, could grow to 25% by October. This will surely complicate parallel efforts to approve a new trade deal with Mexico and Canada. Marketplace's Justin Ho is on the story this morning.
So here's a quick snapshot of what we import from Mexico. They're our biggest supplier of food imports. We took in almost $26 billion worth last year. They also sent us $93 billion in cars and trucks. So overall, we imported almost $350 billion worth of products from Mexico last year.
All right, but a tariff of 5% to start next month? A nickel.
But it's not necessarily as simple as 5% fee at customs or something. So Ishwar Prasad at Cornell University says supply chains between the U.S. and Mexico are really tightly linked.
Goods go back and forth between the border multiple times before they end up as finished products.
Deutsche Bank estimates that two-thirds of imports between Mexico and the U.S. is trade between divisions of the same company. So the effective tax rate on finished products, like cars, for instance, could be even higher than 5%.
A tax ultimately U.S. consumers pay.
Right. Plus, some companies like GoPro had even moved production to Mexico to avoid the tariffs we put on Chinese products. And this also comes in the middle of free trade negotiations between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, a deal Mexico hasn't ratified yet. In fact, the Mexican president sent the Mexican Senate the trade deal for approval just hours before Trump tweeted about these tariffs.
All right, Justin, thank you. A down day is shaping up on the stock market, possibly with tariffs in mind. The FTSE in London is down 1.1%. The Dow future is down 295 points, 1.2%. Similar percentage drop for the S&P future. NASDAQ future down 1.5%. Now, if you've ever sold a house through a broker, you're well aware of the commission sellers typically have to pay, maybe 6% of the sale price. That's split between your broker and the buyer's broker. Well, some home sellers are suing over those fees, arguing they violate antitrust laws. Now the Justice Department is investigating. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins me now. Hi, Amy.
Hi, David.
What are the allegations?
Well, first, we've got to talk about something called the MLS, which stands for Multiple Listing Service. And they're basically databases where brokers share properties they're trying to sell on behalf of their clients. And there's an old rule that says a listing can only be published in the MLS if it includes an offer of compensation for the buyer's broker. That commission's typically 2.5 to 3% of the sale price. So on a $300,000 house, we're talking about, you know, $7,500 to $9,000.
Now, we love the work that realtors do, but is there something nefarious alleged about this practice?
Yeah, that is the claim in now three separate lawsuits filed against the National Association of Realtors and some large brokerage firms. The plaintiffs say that practice of requiring the broker compensation unfairly drives up costs for home sellers and that it inflates commissions because agents basically won't show their clients homes offering low commissions or maybe will show the ones with higher commissions first. That's the allegation. For its part, the National Association of Realtors says the lawsuits are baseless and it's seeking to have them dismissed.
But the Justice Department is also looking into this?
Right. So there's a company called CoreLogic that provides data and software to the MLSs. It's confirmed that it's received a civil investigative order from Justice, basically a subpoena, demanding that it provide documents related to an antitrust investigation. I talked to a guy named Robert Hahn, who's a real estate consultant and blogger who got his hands on this request. And the focus seems to be on documents related to broker compensation and how the MLSs restrict access to listings.
Now, we're on the outside looking in here, but it does seem to me that if the plaintiffs were to win or Justice Department cracked down, there'd be quite an earthquake for this industry.
Yeah, I mean, there are billions of dollars in commissions at stake. Hahn told me it could be catastrophic.
If the plaintiffs prevail,
then what they're essentially going to win on is the idea that sharing commissions, having the seller pay the buyer's agent's commission, is anti-competitive. So it may be that brokers are prohibited from sharing commissions.
And if that happens, buyers would have to figure out how to pay their own brokers. But Han told me nothing is likely to change soon. He expects, 7 to 10 years of litigation.
Marketplace's Amy Scott, thank you for watching this.
You're welcome.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you. For the first time in NBA history, we had a finals game outside the U.S. last night. The Toronto Raptors beat the Golden State Warriors Game 1, 118-109. You have to cross an international frontier to get to Toronto. The NBA wants to grow its brand everywhere, but for now, they're probably happy to see Canadians getting into this. Marketplace's Andy Eula reports.
Toronto is the fourth largest city in North America. Pretty big market for the NBA. But Kevin Pelton, who writes about basketball for ESPN, says it's not just people in Toronto who are cheering for the Raptors.
The rest of the country has jumped on board, and the Raptors have embraced and encouraged that with their slogan, "We the North."
In fact, a lot of people south of the border are rooting for Canada's team, too. It's the underdog. The Warriors have won 2 straight championships. The series might not boost the NBA's popularity across the seas, but Sports Business Journal editor John Oran says the league does have a nice marketing opportunity through a famous Raptor fan, Canadian pop music star Drake, who cheers courtside at all their games.
They are able to sort of get into the entertainment press and get into some of the music press, and it really goes beyond just a really hardcore sporting press.
An NBA title would be something of a homecoming if the Raptors can pull it off. Dr. James Naismith, the creator of basketball, was born in Almont, Ontario. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
More into bonds today. I'm looking at the yield on the government's 10-year note is down 2.16% at the moment. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.